brother.
Oh, what's up? This is
hey,
a good
recording, man.
There's too many of you to cry. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you die.
You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and peace here today.
Picket lines and picket signs. Punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Good morning, New York and New Jersey, as well as the great world beyond. This is the Labor Press's Bob Henley at Stuck Nation, because we surely are. The subject for this segment got on my radar a couple of weeks ago when we did the live remote broadcast from Washington at the annual legislative conference of the American Federation of Government Employees, which represents 700,000 of our nation's essential federal civil servants, including the tens of thousands of employees that run the Veterans Administration's medical facilities that serve millions of our nation's veterans. As it turns out, back during Donald Trump's presidency, Congress passed a law which opened the door to privatizing the Veterans Administration under the guise of modernizing us. Now, I was hoping to have George Jones on the line from AFT Local 2094. I do know we have former Congressman Max Rose, who himself is a veteran who represents Staten Island and portions of Brooklyn. Good morning, Congressman Rose.
Hey, good morning. Great to hear from you, and call me Max, please.
All right. So just by way, until we get established contact with George, hopefully, give us a sense of what is the potential impact here, both on workers and on veterans?
Well, the potential impact is disastrous. You know, when you think about the fact that they're looking to not just close inpatient facilities, but outpatient facilities, this is a slap in the face to veterans. You know, when our service members sign on the dotted line, when they take their oath of enlistment, we also make a promise and a pledge to them that we will be there for them when they come home. This is personal for me. I've attended this VA for services myself. I've seen people I love get hurt right in front of my eyes downrange in Afghanistan. We have got to be there for our veterans. You know, what the fatal flaw of this study is that it seems to think that all hospital beds and all medical practitioners are created alike, and that veterans can just be bounced around the city and, may I add, the tri-state area as if they're numbers on a spreadsheet. The VA is designed and built and has decades of experience to make veterans feel safe, secure, at home, willing to open up, and understands the incredibly complex holistic care that veterans need. We have got to reverse this decision. We've got to get the VA the funding it requires, and we've got to be there for our veterans.
So I'm just curious, like, you were in Congress when this went down. Describe us, what was the trajectory of this? I've heard some folks say that there was some real push behind the scenes from the Koch brothers to privatize the VA. How did this evolve?
So this evolved out of a bill that then mandated a commission to recommend VA closures. Now, what's ironic and odd and saddening and scary about all of this is that between that bill being passed and then subsequently this commission being executed, obviously we all saw and experienced the worst pandemic of our lives and in more than a century. And during that pandemic, what we saw is that a hospital bed, an ICU, an inpatient facility is one of our most valuable resources, second only to the medical practitioners themselves. And so what the fact that this bill calls for actual facilities to be closed is utterly disgusting. and it's short-sighted. You know, we saw the VA open its facilities to non-veterans. That's a part of its mission set. So we have got to think longer term here about this, not just as a matter of service to our veterans, not just as a matter of service to the unbelievable VA employees who do heroic work every day, but also as a matter of pandemic insurance. I am just stunned at this, at the short-sightedness of this proposal.
So what I'm just surprised at, though, is, and this was something that I'm scratching my head, we had an election, and at least on these airways, we believe that President Biden won, and Democrats nominally control, although by a very small margin, the Congress. Does it have a life of its own, if you will, Congressman? Was this a bill that was passed where the administration has to follow through with it and let the process go forward? Is there any room for the president just to say, as you said, citing this once in a century mass death event with almost a million Americans passing, tens of millions infected, can he just say, as a matter of executive order, hey, this thing was on the boards before we had this event that showed how wholly inadequate America's healthcare system is? And as you say, the VA, I understand, is the biggest piece of America's health infrastructure.
You know, the president can absolutely take action. And even more importantly than that, Congress can take action to reverse these recommendations and to get the VA the funding that it needs. Now, what's saddening and ironic is that when you looked at the Build Back Better package, which included billions of dollars for the VA, many of the politicians who oppose that package are now standing on ceremony when these closures are announced. We can't allow for that type of hypocrisy to continue on. Now, none of this is to say that the VA should not evolve, that academic partnerships aren't important. But what this proposal does is it takes healthcare outside of the VA and puts it into other healthcare institutions. And just that effort alone, I think, significantly understates what the VA does that is so special and what the employees, the incredible heroes who work at the VA every day do, and that is that they understand how to serve veterans.
We have Mr. Jones on the line. Good morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. So tell us, the Congressman has laid out some of the framework here. What do the members of Local 2094 AFGE do? What service do you provide our veterans?
We provide, if you're talking about the employees, we provide total service, specialty clinics plus. Me, as the president of the union, I've been here for over 15, approximately 18 years. And we started out with like 700 patients in-house. It's dwindled down considerably since the private industry and I have to say Congress have put us in a position where we're now servicing vets as a clinic.
Right.
As the union president, I can tell you I have a health tech as a vice president. I have a retiree from radiology as a vice a secretary treasurer. I have a chief shop steward that works for IT. I have an EMS worker who's a steward and a political person. And then I have two other stewards to help me with cases that's going on in the VA.
So what are you worried about in terms of what do you think this will do to veterans care? Because I understand it's focused on the proposal. Is Manhattan and Brooklyn existing facilities? And I saw some stuff in the VA about people will have to go from Staten Island to New Jersey? How's that going to work?
It's not going to work well at all. If you close the VA hospitals, they're talking about opening clinics, and that means we have to take funds that we currently use for veterans to put vets into a clinic where there's going to be a backup in the amount of time it takes for you to be seen. And there cannot be any specialty clinics in the a clinic area where they would have to go into a private hospital. It will be
done. Wow, so that's, wow. what was the pandemic like? What was the impact on the AFG workforce and the Veterans Administration?
The impact was quite upsetting to all of the staff, because you could not say you couldn't come to work. If you had a hands-on contact with a veteran, you had to come in. Nursing, healthcare, any healthcare person, clerical staff, everybody had to come in to work. Some of the clerical staff was able to work from home. But this was all devastating. We was given masks and certain PPE to help take care of our veterans. It was upsetting because nobody knew. Once you walked in the hospital, you were subject to catch COVID.
Right. And your family's exposed. Congressman Rose, back to you. I wanted to ask you, put this in a national context. I would imagine that the VA, in terms of the fact that facilities exist in rural parts of America and urban areas where we know healthcare is rationed because of our for-profit system, the VA performs, as you referenced before, critical public health backstop. I would imagine this is a national concern, isn't it?
It's an enormous concern, especially after we have gone through the throes of a pandemic. What it also does, though, the VA is invest in really robust, incredible preventative care. And in order to do that, it makes veterans comfortable to attend its facilities, and it is highly accessible. Just consider Staten Island, for instance. This notion that somehow people are going to be cool going to Jersey, paying the tolls, dealing with the traffic. Literally, people are going to be missing their appointments, not attending facilities for preventative care, and they're going to get sick as a result. People will die because of these proposals, and those who will suffer are the ones who put themselves on the line, willing to make the ultimate sacrifice so we could all be free. That's what's so wrong about this.
Well, and the thing is also, my work with you on 9/11 World Trade Center issues, which you've been a zealous advocate of, one of the things that's so important when you work with this population is that continuity of care. You often have multiple complex issues related to PTSD and a serious chronic health condition. All of this kind of bottom line thinking, which puts a dollar above our commitment to veterans and to public health, is going to have, as you say, a diminution in the quality of that care.
You're 100% right. And let's also bring this conversation back to national security. Right now, what these proposals are doing are looking at the present VA population and somehow seeking to predict the veteran population out there into the future. We do this as we are in a really scary way on the precipice of war. And see conflicts and potential adversaries all around the world. We need an infrastructure in place to not just treat the veterans of today, but the veterans of tomorrow. And that treatment means that they get brought into an institution that owns their entire health care.
Right.
And does not mean bouncing them around a complicated system.
Right. Mr. Jones, I understand that you have an action later today with Congresswoman Maloney. Give us the coordinates of that, if you will.
Yes, we're going to have a rally in front of the Manhattan site of the VA. Congressman Rose participated in one at the Brooklyn site. Congresswoman Maloney is scheduled to attend our rally in Manhattan, along with a number of other speakers. Hopefully we can get the word out and get the word to the necessary people that are considering closing down our VAs instead of modernizing them to the point that our veterans will benefit.
Where is the address, sir?
That's 423 East 23rd Street. It's on 23rd Street near First Avenue.
And thank you so much. And is there any other way people can support AFGE in this challenge?
Sure. If you can just come out, we'll be out for an hour. If you can just come out, stand with us, chant with us, pray with us. We would appreciate it.
Well, our listeners are very good at that. Thank you so much. And Mr. Rose, before you go, I know that you had gotten defeated in the last cycle. You're trying to get back in Congress. How can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can certainly visit our website, maxrosforcongress.com, but we'd love to have you out here fighting this fight with us. I sincerely believe, I know, that when we unite around common purpose, we can build an America we know is possible. Affordability, fairness, safety. It's what matters to all of us, and that's what we're going to keep on fighting for.
Thank you so much. That was Congressman Max Rose and George Jones, President of AFG Local 2094. They've given us an agenda for action today in Manhattan. We'll be right back. This Labor Press podcast is sponsored by Barish & McGarry, lawyers for the 9/11 community who remind everyone, responders, downtown office workers, residents, and students that 9/11 didn't end on 9/11. 68 cancers have been linked to the World Trade Center toxins. Everyone is eligible to enroll in the free, nationwide World Trade Center health program, and if certified with a 9/11 illness, eligible for an award from the Victim Compensation Fund.